The Leftist Media Apocalypse, this week on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising, with Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza, joined in studio today by Lisa K. Donner, editor-in-chief, LibertyNation.com. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Scott.
Thank you for taking the long trip into the studio to do The Uprising with us this
week.
What
a long, strange trip it has been.
Indeed. And you came up with the title of today's episode, of this week's episode of The Uprising. Donald Trump went abroad, and all hell broke loose, I guess. Cats and dogs are living together. Who knows what's to come next down the pike? Why don't you tell us what you think about this?
Well, it seemed like everyone on the left and some on the right just kept hammering away that Donald Trump should have, you know, stood up to Putin and done this and that and the other, but it just seemed rather strained to me. And
it's supposed to be a diplomatic mission, not a war mission, right? That's
right.
The thing that I kind of didn't understand about it. And, I think that for both of us, domestic policy is more our forte, so we're a little bit more comfortable sort of talking about it. But at the same time, it doesn't take, I don't think you need a PhD from the Johns Hopkins School of Diplomacy or Foreign Policy to understand that, you know, if you want something from somebody, just like dealing with the North Koreans, you don't have to go out in a diplomatic way and say, we hate what you do and we think you're animals and you're awful people. You go with the sugar water, not vinegar, right? To kind of get what you want from them?
Yeah.
And why isn't the same thing true with Putin?
You're right. I wrote, you catch more flies with honey. And that is the truth. The only one that actually I thought got it right was Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually stood up and said, you know, what are you people expecting? I mean, Putin's going to deny this. I mean, he
no fan of Trump, by the way, Rand Paul, generally speaking.
Yeah. And Putin's a bad guy. We know this. Mm-hmm. We get this. But it didn't seem to make sense that everyone in the media wanted Trump to, you know, go out there and pound Putin.
I remember when George W. Bush was president, and I can't recall if it was Woodward. It was one of these major reporters, print reporters, was talking to him then about the North Korean dictator, who was the father of the current North Korean dictator. And he talked about what an awful, horrible person he was, but that, you know, what could he do about it, in other words? And that was then played up in the press, and then the North Koreans had to come out and say, you know, it's just, I don't think it would be news if the president thought that the North Korean dictator was a bad person. So why do we need to dwell on it if we're trying to get concessions out of them diplomatically? And for God,
Well, it's funny because I don't remember JFK excoriating Khrushchev.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember that either. Of course, then they were trying to win. I wasn't quite determined yet which how far down the depths of communism Castro would go. And for Putin, the thing that I want to ask kind of everybody on the left, and you know, there are some I know some listeners to the Uprising podcast that are not on the right, and when I hear so many arguments about Trump is sort of in Putin's pocket, doing all these things to benefit Putin. What I can never understand is prior to Trump's election and still today, I would have said that the thing that Vladimir Putin most wants are high oil prices because Russia is basically a petro state. They get, you know, the vast majority of their wealth comes from the export of oil. And if you really wanted some help in the world, I mean, you know, it might be fine, you know, whatever the border with Ukraine is, presumably, let's say he cares a little bit about that. What he really wants is high oil prices. Yet Donald Trump hasn't gone after fracking. That's an Obama thing. Donald Trump hasn't gone after coal. That's an Obama and would have been a Clinton thing, by the way. We would expect that Hillary Clinton would have furthered those anti-coal, anti-fracking, anti-drilling, anti-ANWR, anti-coastal shelf development, whereas Trump is in favor of it. So where's the juice there for Putin? What's the get?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we've got the pipeline going in under Trump. We've got the coal places in West Virginia fired up. I mean, how has this he been friendly to Putin? Ah.
Yeah. All right. You want to get into your CNN?
Yeah, we got some great clips for you guys.
Trifecta here.
Great clips today.
All right, so this is Brian Stelter from, I believe, is it Reliable Sources?
Right.
CNN.
In the past, the U.S. president's words have projected power and shaped global decisions. What the president said meant something. It meant a lot. But not now. Not anymore. What President Trump says is so frequently false or nonsensical that his words don't have the same meaning, the same power, the same impact as past presidents. It's a shame, but it's true. Trump simply cannot be trusted.
Now, that was Brian Stelter. He said the exact same thing, I think, when it was revealed about how most Americans weren't going to be able to keep their doctors in the wake of the Obama. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
He never said that. No, no.
He never called Obama a liar.
Yeah, but the thing is, Trump's words have no power. I mean, where does he come from on that? I mean, Trump's words have enormous power. His tweets have enormous power. I mean, isn't that the thing that the left has been beefing about all this time?
You're exactly right. I hadn't thought about it in that way. But yeah, his words have more power than almost anybody's in the world in terms of his reach, right? He tweets one thing and there's a massive reaction often to it.
Yeah, and Brian just doesn't trust him anymore. So sad.
Right, right. What are we going to do when the CNN anchors don't trust the president?
I don't know.
That may change when the difference is that they don't have their spouses and nieces and nephews working in the administration like what happens when the Democrats are in power.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
All right, do you want to talk about this Richard Fitzwilliams quote from Mayhem?
I do. Let's look.
So much that was bizarre yesterday that I can only call the moments, the 48 minutes that the president and the first lady spent with the queen as one of the more restful parts of the day. We'd never seen anything like this before, going back to all the presidents who've visited London. And I mean, there have been rather extraordinary episodes from time to time. President Reagan and President Obama got on extremely well, as did their wives with the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. On the other hand, there was apparently a certain frisson in the private visit of the Kennedys in 1961. But this was mayhem yesterday. No wonder everyone is talking about it. They'll continue to talk about it for a very long time.
Mayhem, he said. Mayhem. It was mayhem.
Oh, okay. I love the CNN anchors. Mayhem, total mayhem after Richard Fitzwilliams was...
Well, here's the question that everybody I know who's listening is asking. Is mayhem better or worse than a frisson? The infamous Kennedy frisson with the Queen.
Yeah, okay, and the Duke. So do impart upon us. What is a frisson?
I can only assume it's some sort of scandalous episode. I don't speak the French, so where's Tim Donner when you need him?
I thought it was a nice tête-à-tête. I took Spanish in high school. But I thought it was a little tête-à-tête, or they had, you know,
right, maybe, words.
Maybe tea together. Yeah.
Well, there were, you know. Kennedys are Irish, and
I do know the
Queen was not. So
I know the Queen liked Jackie Kennedy. I read that somewhere.
Well, back then she was French, right?
But I don't think we set this up right. I mean, basically what Richard Fitzwilliams was saying in his British accent was basically that Trump and Melania were barbarians. They were so uncouth.
Right.
They weren't bowing and scraping and curtsying properly. Now, I'm wondering, why the hell did we fight the war in 1776?
I mean, right. You know, right. That's my line.
Wasn't that
you can't steal
what
my
it was
line
about?
Like that.
Right. I mean, so that we didn't have to bow and scrape in that. And then Trump walked and he was shielding the view of the queen.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever heard a thing like this, again, back to the George W. Bush administration. And I can't remember if she came here or he went there, but it was one of these moves where, like, she was walking past him. He's like directing her attention and placed his hand on like the small of her back, like you would, right? Like in a normal, in a human interaction, especially when you're dealing with a fragile, perhaps a elderly woman like the queen was still then elderly. And it was a big scandal. You know, the British press, of course, were writing about it like, oh my God, he touched the queen, right? He laid a hand on her. And of course, I had the same reaction, which was, okay, this is somehow a big deal. How? And, you know, I think that, what are the important issues that we need to go over with the British people? Partners in security around the world, partners in peace, partners in trade, touching the queen, and how one has the pinky situated when one sips the tea. I don't think that's an important issue, is it? Is this something that's really going to divide or separate us from the cousins in a meaningful way?
All right, but this is why I picked this out, because this goes to show the abject hate that the left media, the leftist media, has for Trump. I mean, they're going to do a segment on his unqueenly manners. I mean, yeah, really? That just strikes
well, I think
me as
we're
so
well,
odd.
We're well past the time when Americans think that that they're going to upset the apple cart by declaring Donald Trump does not have perfect manners, right? In a
Hello?
British royal way. I mean, he doesn't have the average table manners of, or the average manners of a, you know, what we would expect of a well-behaved toddler or a tweener anyway, much less a member of the Court of St. James or whatever they're called.
Though I do have to say that your usual co-host, Tim, my better half, does point out that for some reason, you know, the British are so proper all the time, but for some reason, they always call Trump the Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about their prime minister as Teresa,
mm-hmm.
which I think is so funny. You know, they're so proper and bowing and scraping and whatnot, and yet he's the Donald.
Well, speaking of the Donald and Teresa, the clip that you didn't pull is the one that I pulled, and it's the one that explains all the animosity and vitriol that CNN hosts have towards Donald Trump.
Oh,
this is from
can't wait to hear this.
The joint press conference between Donald Trump and PM May.
Mr. President, since you attacked CNN, can I ask you a question?
John Roberts, go ahead, John. No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network.
And he went out of his way multiple times to slow things down and speak directly into the microphone and say, CNN is fake news, just so it would be, make sure it would be picked up and heard. That's how much Donald Trump has against Jim Acosta's interruption of his press conference.
And Teresa's standing there for this whole thing?
Oh, yeah. At one point, I actually hit play on mute and just looked at her face to see if I could see, like, you know, read the reaction. She's a good politician. She's pretty stone-faced. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, not much of a reaction
oh,
there.
Really?
But
too bad.
That, I think, is what primed the pump for these recent attacks.
Oh, yeah. All two people that are watching CNN now. Okay, hit it.
You want to go to Aaron Burnett?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Mark Preston on CNN.
Here she is.
I mean, I say this, and I'm not saying it tongue-in-cheek. How stupid does he think we are?
Well, short answer is that he thinks we're very stupid. And in many ways, you can't argue against that. He has gotten away with this ever since he came down that escalator when he announced his presidency. We have seen him time and time again say one thing that is outrageous, that causes anger. Then he turns around and acts like he never said it. Now, the problem that we're facing right now, Aaron, is that he enjoys an 80% approval rating amongst Republicans. Mm-hmm. So when we're attacking Republicans on Capitol Hill for not doing enough, in many ways, they're flummoxed. They're running scared. They don't know how to deal with Donald Trump. In many ways, he has become a president on his own without any allies, that the only people that are supporting him right now are those who fear him.
Okay, but wait, I thought his words had no power.
Right.
I mean, which is it?
As opposed to other politicians, by the way, who are supported out of love and goodwill? Is that why other politicians?
And the problem is that he enjoys an 80% approval rate among the Republicans, which is cracking me up with this walk-away campaign.
Mm-hmm. Such a shame. CNN. Boy, I remember when you used to be able to turn to them for the straight dope once upon a time.
I was in the business many moons ago, and even then we used to call it chicken noodle news.
And what did the chicken noodle stand for? I remember the Clinton News Network, but, well, they were denigrated early on by the more serious news because of their 24-hour kind of profile, I think. I remember when...
Well, but they always had really bad graphics.
And, yeah. But it was news, though. It wasn't Ted Turner's opinions or somebody else's opinions. It was, you know, you got a bit of a leftist slant of just sort of, I think, people who are in that business seem to trend more left. But I was reading a story earlier today about, anyway, the guy who's the head of CNN, he's taking a break to go undergo some surgery. And they were doing a little bit of a retrospective about his recent years there and what he brought to the table. And they called it a lean-in attitude towards politics. And that is what we're seeing now. This is the result of this quote-unquote lean-in attitude.
You're talking about Jeff Zucker?
I am talking about Jeff Zucker.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He's got a heart surgery upcoming. He's taking a six-week break. I think it was 2013 when he came on board, and that's when they say that this, again, this lean-in style, which lean-in sounds to me like, you know, this is about reporters who are hostile to Republicans and conservatives, and certainly Donald Trump exhibiting those preferences on the air like they're legitimate news items rather than their own political preferences.
That's funny, this lean-in business. I mean, back in the day when I was broadcasting, basically you were supposed to play it straight down the middle. Even if you didn't feel that way, you were considered kind of persona non grata in the newsroom if you tried to tilt left or right or whatever. Now, if you don't go along with the pack, and I will say this week was a classic case of pack journalism. Even Neil Cavuto went off.
Mm-hmm.
On the president. It was a disgusting performance. It was disgraceful to America. So they all reach a conclusion. They all jump on the bus together and head down the road.
Well, let's do a reality check here, because I know that you have been, generally speaking, a supporter of Donald Trump and his presidency. Is it possible that they're right and you're wrong? Is it possible that Neil Cavuto and the, you know, they're not just parroting, but maybe there was some damage done this week? Or is it, upon reflection, a gaggle kind of mentality?
No, in short. I mean, it isn't possible. The more I think we get away from this, the more we see that Trump was absolutely correct to not poke the bear.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get him some etiquette lessons for his next trip to Windsor.
Pun intended.
Walking with the book on his head. I'm sure Melania can teach him that.
With the pinky in the air.
With the pinky in the air. For Lisa K. Donner and LibertyNation.com, this is Scott Cosenza. Thanks for listening to The Uprising. Never miss another Liberty Nation story. Just go to the Liberty Nation Facebook page and see our simple tips to adjust your See First settings. Even when Facebook filters news, make sure that you can choose.